that allowed us to gather together. Lord, and with great anticipation, Father, we wait, Lord, to hear you speak to us. Lord, that you could reveal your word to us in a greater way. I'm so thankful, Lord. Thankful for the desire you placed in my heart, Lord, to receive. Lord, the promise that we receive revelation. Lord, that it could become part of us, Lord. We'd be able to please you. Bless us now, each and every one that's gathered. Lord, may you have your way. Lord, bless the few songs, Lord, that calm us and clear our minds. Lord, that you have your way in everything. We ask this in your precious name. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise him. Turn with me in our Only Believe books. I'd like to. Page 187. Such love. Amen. That God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss, for rest till he had planned to bring me nigh. How wonderful is love like this! Oh, such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. Page 175, just over a page. I'd rather be a Christian.
In this world I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say there's nothing like religion in the good old-fashioned way. I am walking in the old-time way, and I want the world to know that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. I'd I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway. As the journey I pursue, I have longed to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with the millions to be sold, but I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go, oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. All the world bright since I got right, now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I travel here below that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling where I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's so true, saints. Praise his name. Page 166. When we all get to heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, you prepare for us a place. Oh, when we all get to heaven, oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Rejoicing that will be, oh, when we
what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory.
What a day that's going to be, saints.
Praise his name.
Brother Hamilton, would you come on?
Glory is time.
That's the blessing.
Lord, you're worthy of everything we say and do. Bless his service. Bless his offering. Everything we all ask. Bless his treasure.
Oh, he's everything to me.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. Sing it.
He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh,
something on your heart you'd like to think now. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Josh, would you take the request?
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so humbled, Lord, to be gathered in your presence this evening.
Yes.
Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for all the things you've done for us in our life,
yes.
Lord. That precious word, Lord, that you freely give it unto us, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord. That's more important than anything else in this life. Lord, we ask for greater revelation each and every time we come. Lord, in this life we have needs in our body or whatever it may be, Lord, you know all about it.
Yes.
Lord, we hand it unto you, Lord, knowing that you'll take care of it according to your perfect will. Lord, we just give you all the glory and praise and honor now. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Somebody have a special, maybe a song on your heart?
Stand up and tell Satan face to face.
let's stand, if you will. Sing the chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Precious Lord, we are so thankful for one more opportunity to come, and Lord, just so appreciative to feel the moving of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we've come tonight, as the sisters sing the song, Lord, may we continue to stir our hearts, Lord, and to keep that fire burning, Lord, that we would be a people that would be about the Father's business. Lord, our whole purpose and our life be centered to thy word. And Father, we just come now, Lord, to renew our minds to these things that you've laid upon my heart. And just praying, Lord, that you would move on the scene. And Lord, just as we read these scriptures and renew our minds to these quotes, that, Lord, you would add the blessing to your word, Lord, into our hearts, to the receiving. That, Father, it would energize us, help us some way this evening, Lord, to stir us and to keep us pressing on, we pray. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's so good to be back. Amen. Yes, sure miss not being able to be here Sunday, but this old Ohio weather has a mind of its own. Amen. Yes, lots of changes. But while you're standing, if you would, let's turn back over here into the book of Zechariah and read a very familiar scripture. Amen. Just so thankful that God is still God, amen, and he still moves on our hearts and wooing us and drawing us and pulling us closer to him, amen. But just here in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, and I just want to read the 6th and 7th verse, very familiar, but just to kind of draw a little text. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. Amen. We are definitely living in a dark and dismal world. And how we see it more each and every day as things take place around us and we see all that's happening. But we also see that darkness creeping into we've seen it creep into the churches. We've seen it creep into people's lives. But how we want to be a people that don't allow this darkness to overthrow us or to take us or to dampen us down. Yes, but let's, if you would, let's turn over to John, the first chapter, and just renew our minds to some of these things. Amen. John, the first chapter, very familiar scriptures, but just think about them maybe tonight. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Yes. And that light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Amen. And as you think about that, in the beginning, the Word was made flesh, and in that was life. And that life was the light of men. And that light is still shining today. The light of this glorious gospel. It's not went out. It's not grown dim. Every word that's been recorded in this precious word is just as real and important today as it was when it was written. And it'll hold through, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. Amen. And what a consolation that ought to put in our hearts when we see the time and the place we're living. And, you know, some of us may have been attending churches for a long time, and maybe some of us are being drawn or maybe interested in the word, and maybe we don't actually go to church, but we take the time when we have time to listen to the word and to think about it. But you know, God is always mindful, and that light is sitting there shining for each and every one of us. Amen. And each and every one of us have an opportunity to press into that light, to push forward and to reach out, to let that light consume us and to consume our lives and to draw us to that place that it's shining forth, not me, not you, but Jesus Christ, the Word, entombed in a body of flesh just like he did in John, and shine forth to this world that he is the same and living and manifesting and taking having a people that will surrender their lives and come under conform to his image. As you think about that, something being conformed, it's a pressing and it's pushing. You know, if you look at molds, when something's being molded, it's pushed and it's compacted, you know, a lot of times. The excess is trimmed off. And then when they open up the mold, it comes forth in the exact image of the thing that it was conformed to be conformed to. And how God's word is truly doing that in our hearts and in our lives to that little true believer all over the earth. She's being pressed and she's being conformed, and that light is shining and it's rolling back the darkness, and the heat of the sun, the word shining down upon her, is pulling out the greenness. And all of it is working to his glory to bring us to that place. But you know, so many times, so many start on a journey. They start for the press, but as that pressing starts and that trimming begins, they get a little weary. They get a little faint in well-doing. But we want to be a people that don't let anything distract us. And we want to keep our eyes focused on one thing, that Jesus Christ is that light. Amen. He is the truth and the way, and him alone. And if we can but focus that in and let that light shine in our hearts and in our minds, it'll truly press out the darkness of man's ideas and man's creeds and the man's way of thinking about God's word. But we've got to come back and truly let him be that light in our mind. Amen. And oftentimes we've got to a place where maybe it looks like we're down in that darkness. And maybe the darkness is, it's like my light's not really shining and I'm over here, but if there's a desire pushing and pulling to bring you, and you can see that light out there shining, oh, how we ought to run and push our way towards it, yes, to yield ourselves to it, that the warmth of its glow would warm us, mm-hmm, and bring us to this place that he's wanting us to be. Hey, man, you know, as you think about the area and the time we're in, and we'll get over here and read some things that Paul said, but just to kind of put us in the mindset is, We see all that's happening in the world. And we see there's men's had doctrines of this and doctrines of that, and churches say it's this way and churches say it's that way. But God is such a God of simplicity and such a God of his word. He protects it. He watches over it to make sure that it's pure. But how we see that even as God showed us and through a prophet in this age, that how Satan is going about trying to deform and to deshape and to take away and to belittle God's word, just like he did in the beginning, trying to make it of no importance and no effect to the believer. But there's a people that was predestinated that they can't help themselves, but all they can do is look to Jesus Christ and truly say amen to every word. You know, God's word is went forth and it never will return to him void. What he says it will do, it will do. And as it goes forth into our hearts and into our lives, as we even can take those words, we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but we come and we gather underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And every time you come in and gather in that presence, you will not go away disappointed. Every person that comes expecting with the right attitude will receive something from Jesus Christ that they can't go out and still ever remain the same person. It may not change them to what fully, it's all depending on the life that's laying inside. But you cannot come in contact with it and not know that you were in the presence, amen, of Jesus Christ. And oh my, how reverent we should truly be as we see and realize the time we're in and the age that we are and the space of time we've been given. And how we should treat each moment. You know, we're placed in this life and to live and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we've lived our whole life and never thought much about that. But maybe some of us might be getting older, and maybe now that thought starts to strike our minds just a little bit more. As we see that old age is inevitable. It's going to come. It's going to catch every one of us. And we see our bodies breaking down and we become feebler. And maybe it's harder to breathe and it's harder to get that breath. And maybe we realize that, what have I done with my life? What good have I, what's been here for me? But you know, Jesus, he's calling each and every one. And it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes people think because they've been in a certain situation or gotten to a certain place that you can't reach out. You know, there's no light for me. There's no place for me. I've squandered it away. But oh, if there is something in your heart that's just nudging a little bit, there is still time and still a place to reach out to that light and ask him to fill you to overflowing till it would press the darkness out of your life. You know, so many people, they take that attitude, when I get right, I'll come to Christ. But you come to Christ and he'll get you right. You yield to the Holy Spirit and you watch the Holy Spirit do the work in your life to remove the situations, the obstacles, the mountains that lays before you that you think might be this big. But the Word of God, it's nothing. He parted a Red Sea to bring a children across on dry land. He stopped the heat of a fire that was heated seven times hotter for his elected children. Closed the mouths of lions. And oh my, when they were being torn and sawn asunder in the arenas, yet they were still something about him. They stood there and sang his praises. God will bring you through whatever obstacle he's placed before you. If there's something in there drawing, there's nothing going to hold you back. Amen. And you know, the Apostle Paul, if you would, let's turn over here to, amen. I wrote it down here. Let's go to, amen. I probably got ahead of myself. Let's go over here to Romans, the 14th chapter. Amen. And just think, we'll read a couple things Apostle Paul says here, but let's catch this one first. And thinking about the time and the place, each and every one of us. You know, the world is pressing in on everyone, whether you're in church, whether you're not in church. Satan is doing all he can to just press and to push and to shove it on us and bring it down, you know, and it comes from all forms. It might come from someone just trying to just take you back to the full filth of the world. It might come in the simple manner of somebody just saying, God didn't mean it quite like that. You don't need that in your life. You don't have to worry about that. It comes in all forms and fashions. But Paul here, I like how he put it in Romans, the 11th chapter, or the 13th chapter, the 11th verse. And he says that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Yes. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Oh my, Paul is saying, put on this word, put on the life. Surrender yourself, as he went through many places, and we took the time to read, as even in the 12th chapter, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. Even in Romans 8 and 30, when he said, we was predestinated to be conformed to that image. As you go back through and you take the time to read all of these, you see this taking place. And then if you would, over here in Romans, let me see here. Amen. I missed one here. Let's catch this one right here. Amen. And then Philippians, the 3rd chapter, if you want to turn there, in the 8th verse. And I like how Paul, you got to remember the life Paul had, what God brought him through. And there he was out there murdering and putting people to death and fighting this gospel and doing all he could to tear it down and to destroy it. But that day on the road to Damascus, as the Lord struck him down and he saw it light, oh, and he was changed from Saul to Paul. And his life was turned around, and as he began to write those things that we've read. But here in Philippians, the 3rd chapter in the 8th verse, after Paul had done all of that, and then God had used him so mightily for the church to be that first messenger, to bring the word and to show forth what Christ was doing and to reveal the word. Here in the 8th verse, he says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Oh my, when you think of even the time and place we're in, and today the world is celebrating the birth of Christ. They've let it go from that. They just call it Christmas and they do their whole thing. But truly, for the true believer, we realize he wasn't born in December. But when you see that God in simplicity come down and bring himself and to come by the scripture, he said he would come and be born, oh my, by a virgin. And you see that word fulfilled. And then we saw the scripture said he would be crucified, but on the 3rd day he would rise again. And we saw his life lived, we saw it manifested, and we saw the scriptures made manifest. And it's taking place right down to the line. So even when he told him to go up into tarry until you be endued with power from on high, as our pastor was mentioning last Thursday, we see the word made flesh and it was fulfilled. And it reacted and it had the exact repercussions that he said it would have. It bounced out there and it was manifested and vindicated, just like turning on a light switch. Yes. It was out for everyone to see. And nobody can deny it. And even today, many people, they say, "Yes, we believe it." But oh, we want to see the results of that very life made flesh, living through you, that life lighting up our life, that we would bear witness of that life and that light today. But as Paul goes on here, he says, "His suffering, his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Amen. You just think, I love how Paul says, forget so many times. It's all. But Paul didn't say that. He said, "But forgetting those things which are behind me, let it all be gone. Forget those things that are behind you, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me." Yes. And how, you know, we look at our life and we see so many, you know, so much today, still yet, so many people couldn't see past. When John the Baptist came, he was only a witness. He was bearing a witness of the light. Yes. Apostle Paul came, he was still bearing witness of a light. He was a vessel God used in the gift of a prophet, bringing forth the word and breaking it down to a people. And all through the ages, we see God using his men. Till William Branham in this age, as the prophet for this last age, he wasn't the light. He was bearing witness of the light, pointing us all right back to Jesus Christ, to the word. And to see that reality in our lives, to see that this word is truth, and to tear down the ideas and the walls that have been surrounded us. And so many people, even in this message, have rose up and took an idea and took an idea till it's come down to where I believe this one, I believe this, and it's all separated out. But the prophet that was sent is still pointing to the light. The word is still here pointing to the light. There's nobody pointing to one certain thing but to the word of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the light. He is the lighthouse. He's shining forth today still yet. And that word has not been tampered with. It's of no private interpretation. God gave it out just the way he wanted it to. And then he gave gifts unto the church to keep renewing and to breaking it down and bringing it back to the remembrance of all that would hear it. And through hearing of God's precious word by hearing and the renewing of our minds, we would be transformed. That promise of God would be made real and alive. But forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. And let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Oh my, if we feel that pull in our hearts and we're feeling the move of this word and we see the seriousness and the age and the hour and the time. And it doesn't matter. You know, the plants that have grown for 7 months out there in the sun, they're still rejoicing as that sun is shining. Just as much as maybe the new plant that just broke through the ground. The sun is drawing it up. The rain is watering it and it's rejoicing. And it's all pushing for the light. It's growing, reaching for that sun. And oh my, may we truly be a people that is letting this word shape us. And may we never quit reaching. Don't ever let someone discourage us or to take us and tamper us down a little bit. We're cast doubt upon God's word. But keep our eyes focused and keep it tuned to Jesus Christ, the light. This is, thus saith the Lord, the word that's laying before us, what he has watched over to make sure that it has not been tampered with. It's not been disturbed. It's in its pure form. And all we have to do is in faith, believe him and believe that he is and take him at his word. You know, as Peter, as the day that Jesus told him to drop his net, oh my, his old attitude could have been a lot different. But he said, at thy word, Lord, I'll do as thou hast said. And sometimes if we would but yield to that and just say, Lord, I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to reach out. Yeah. And if we'll take that first step, oh, you watch Jesus reach down and take us the rest of the way. You watch him lead, watch him guide, and watch it work out to his glory and his honor. Amen. The prophet in the message, Shalom, and I read part of this, but I'm going to read it again last time I ministered. This is January the 12th, 63, or 64 rather. Paragraph 88 starting. He says, the hour is upon us. Darkness, gross darkness. Gross darkness on the people. And that's what it is. What does it all mean? Where are we standing? What hour are we in? And how close are we to the coming? You say, well, when they all have a revival, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom, all right? What does it mean? God has begun to separate the light from the darkness. See, he is pressing it behind, like he did in the beginning, to show the dawn of a new day. The church ages are fading out. The church ages are fading out. God is pressing the darkness into a place. It has to do it to fade out the church organizations and fade out the world. And the world is covering the thing over. Worldlyism has took the whole thing. Then isn't God right? By worldly things and by worldly dressing, worldly acting, and worldly living, it's the world. But ye are not of the world, little children. Ye are of heaven. This is not your home. Amen. And you know, worldlyism, we see it. We see what's taking place. And it doesn't take someone, you know, you just look and you can see hit in time. If you just look back years ago, what churches would have not have done or would not have allowed. And you can see that worldlyism has taken over. We see that darkness sliding in. Amen. The world had came in and it's pushing out. But God is there still shining a light saying, I won't lose none of my own. Yeah. He said he would watch over them. So no matter where you are or what place you're in, if that little seed is laying down in there, that light is still shining and they're still just can't help it, but there was something in there that's pushing, it's wiggling, it's drawing. And at some point in place, it will push its way to the light if it was predestinated. You can't help itself. The light will draw it and pull on it. Yes. And pull it through this worldlyism. It'll pull it through to shave it out so that your mind is not attracted. Well, what about this? What about? No, you're focused on one thing. Jesus Christ. The word, living for him, doing what he wants, the desire that he places in you. You know, so many people, they can't turn loose of things because they think, well, it's their desire. If you'll just come to Christ, the desire will leave. Yes. It will fold away. He will take care of it. Hallelujah. He watches over his own. And he just needs you to take that first step and then let him do the work. Yes. That's what's happened. So many people have tried to do the work for themselves. They've tried to make it. They've tried to work it. They've tried to push it, force it, whatever. But just yield to Jesus Christ and let the Word just wash you with the water. Let Him wash you with the water of His Word and watch Him bring the cleanness to you. And it'll come from the inside out. Oftentimes we try to clean the outside and forget to clean the inside. But oh, Jesus doesn't work that way. He starts on the inside and it'll work itself and express itself on the outside. Amen. How glorious it is. But he's pulling on a people. He's moving a people. They're nurturing. Their roots are getting deeper and deeper in the soil. And it's holding. There's an anchoring time, a steadfastness, a place to stand. That they don't want the things of the world. They're not looking back to Egypt, so to speak. They're not looking at this over there, but they got their eyes on one thing. They know that there's soon to be a rapture and a coming and appearing of the Lord. It's going to happen.
Yes.
He's going to come and take His bride home. Amen. But, you know, as Paul is telling us to push forward and to press, and how often, you know, he used many different places. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, it was just a one verse. If you want to turn there, you can. But Paul had said, he said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the prize? Mm-hmm. So run that ye may obtain."
Yes.
And you know, oftentimes we get to the place we're looking to everybody else. Are they running? Are they running? No, you've got to see that prize is there. Yeah. There's something in you saying there's a prize out there and I'm going to get it. It don't matter who goes with me, who's going to walk with me, but that prize is laying there for me. And there's something drawing for me to get to that prize. And you watch it work. And you start off and pushing and you watch it just continue to grow and to grow and to grow. And it'll become so big in your life. You know, oh my, it's just so precious to be, you know, even for me, I was born, you know, being born in a message church and raised in a church, and what wonderful, and I'm thankful for that. I'm so glad that God gave me the childhood and the time that I had and all to be raised the way that I was. But I'm so thankful that He showed me that alone wasn't enough. Yeah. A good moral life, doing the best I could, doing all these things. You know, just as He told the rich young ruler, he had done all those things, he obeyed all that he knew. Mm-hmm. But you lack one thing. And oh my, to realize that one thing was laying there, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the true filling of the new birth that will bring your life and to bring you a subject to every word. It's laying there for every believer. Amen.
Amen.
And oh my, if you but yield to God's word, watch Him bring it to pass. But oh, how many times we want to look around us too much and check on everybody else. But oh, if it's pulling on your heart, if you feel that drawing on your, it don't matter. Press for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That He would have His preeminence and His way in your life. You know, the prophet used this example many times. And this is in the message, "Sirs, We Would See Jesus," paragraph 42. And this was preached March 1864. And it's very familiar. You'll remember it. But he said, "Any man who drives the road looking through a rearview mirror will wreck up." That's right. You take like some of our sisters trying, 50 years old, trying to look 16. So you're looking back. Look forward. Look where you're going to. Look where you're going, not what you came from. Don't keep looking back where you've been. But oh, look where you're going. Forgetting those things that are in the past, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. You must always look where you're going, not where you've been. Amen.
Yes.
Press. It doesn't matter. Lay it aside. If you've see God's word and that light shining out in front of you, oh, press and keep looking forward. He says, look forward, look where you're going, look where you're going to, not what you come from. Let me drop down. I see, not where you've been. If you watch the rear view mirror, you will soon wreck up. That's been the trouble. That's the reason that the Lutherans wrecked up. Wesley's light come on. That's the reason that Wesley wrecked right up when Pentecostals come on. And if we don't watch, the Pentecostals is going to wreck up too if they just don't keep on your toes to watch, you see. You're always looking back and referring to what somebody else did back there. Mm-hmm. When we're commanded to look forward and to keep going on, their prophecy happened in their days. This happens in this day and the next happens in the next day. Mm-hmm. It's allotted out to the end time.
Yes.
There is things that's supposed to be going on now according to Scripture. The Holy Spirit on the earth poured out upon the people. And now when Jesus come, those scribes and so forth ought to have recognized Him, but they didn't. because they were so set in their traditions. Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, whatever more. They was in that tradition so steeped until the very prophecy of Christ himself that what he was supposed to be, they failed to see it. He said to them, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me." And oh my, as we see, it doesn't matter how long you've been serving Jesus Christ or whether you're just beginning. That scripture, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." That's what each and every one of us is searching. That's where we're placing our faith tonight. Each one of us are weighing ourselves in the balance every time we walk through those doors, set underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or listen to the word, or read the word. We're sitting there and that letting that light shine down upon us and searching the scriptures to make sure that there is representation there. There is identification shining forth. And there is a trueness of growing and being conformed to the image of his son. Yes. And oh my, we're not satisfied to be conformed to the image of a church or to be conformed to the image of some other man's idea, but conformed to the word of Jesus Christ alone. And oh my, it is bringing it forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see here. Amen. It's just so amazing to see what God is doing for us. And you know, our pastor there was speaking a couple services ago, is out of James. I'm going to read James, the first chapter. But just to catch the first part of this, because you know, it matters. It doesn't matter where you're at and you're growing with Christ. As we grow as crabs of the stall, as we hear the word, we're going to become the word. But I like how James put it here. "But be ye doers of the word," the 12th, 22nd verse, "and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and go away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Yes. And oh my, you know, the more you hear, the more you're required of. Mm-hmm. But oh my, if we can but begin to be a doer in the smallest of things, we'll be blessed in our deed. If we can but truly take God at his word, to whatever it may be, wherever he's leading me to, if I'll just but be a doer in the first part, he will bless that work. He'll bless that deed. And oh my, you watch, if that little predestinated seed is laying in there and you begin to feed it, you just watch it continue to blossom. It'll just continue to grow. And oh my, if it goes from doing one thing to it's, oh, I'm doing another. And it's so natural. It just follows right in. And then you're thinking, how did I get from there to here?
Yes.
Only by the grace of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He does the work for you. It's grace you are saved. Oh my, how it ought to just take us over and blend, move us right on in. In the, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This was in the message in spiritual food in due season. And how I truly, you know, been thinking a lot about that. And I kind of thought my message was going to go more that direction this evening. But it just, these things come upon our heart. But, you know, as I'd said before, there's just such a famine in the land. There's such a, just, but it's laying there for us. Yes, the word is laying there. It's been stored up. But you got to be willing to partake of it. It's like going to the doctor and getting medicine for an ailment you have and then saying, "I don't want to take the medicine because I don't, you know, I just don't want to do that." It'll never, your ailment's never going to go away. But this word is laying here for us. And oh my, may we, it's prepared, and it's what's needed in this hour, in each and every one of us, in greater manner. And as Brother Branham said here as he began to speak this, he said, "I want you to get built up now in the holy oracles of God, in the faith of this hour. Yes. The faith is going to take more faith than ever was in any age, for this has to be a rapturing faith to be taken up. And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen and heard, the word that you have heard preached, the signs and wonders that you have seen done. And we want you to accumulate all that together in your heart and consider it, whether that be of God or not. Yes. It's like Elisha of old said, if God be God, then serve him. And if Jesus is the center of all things to the Christian, then I think we ought to let loose of everything else and cleave to him. Remember, he is the center. He is the North Star. He is the ultimate. He is the absolute. Amen. And if he is the North Star, there's only one thing that'll point to the North Star, and that's your compass that you're sailing with. And that's the compass that I'm trying you to sail with is the Word. And the Word always points to him. Amen. And how each time as we come in and sit here, that's what it's pointing to. It's not pointing to this church. It's not pointing to our pastor. But it's pointing back to Jesus Christ, amen, the husband that's soon coming for his bride. Amen. Amen. And he, through the working of the ministry, is preparing that little bride for a soon catching away.
Yes.
He says, and that compass I try to sail with is the Word, and the Word always points to him. And we feel like we're going through a great time of distress and trials, perplexity of time, the distress between nations, and all kinds of things happening. And sometimes I get engulfed, like everywhere I look, it's like a ship out on sea. And I've been given charge of the boat. And he says, then how are we going to make it? And here comes one with a white cap, 100 times bigger than my ship. But we'll crest them, every one. We are more than victors through him, the captain, the chief captain. He has got a hold of the string on the end of the ship, and he'll pull it through. And we'll crest every one of them. And oh my, Jesus Christ is still in control. He has still got a hold of the ship. He's got a string.
Yes.
And oh, he's going to pull us through by his grace.
Amen.
But oh my, may we be a people that don't make it. Let's not fight him, but let's yield to him.
Yes.
And say, Lord, take my life and guide me. Lord, pull me, direct me, whatever, to bring me to that place of recognition, whatever I may need. A greater revelation, a greater understanding. That my light would burn brighter and brighter and brighter for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That his life, his light, would be expressed today through one of us.
Amen.
Oh my, in a greater form, in a greater fashion.
Yes.
That's what this word came to do. That's what Jesus came to do, to redeem man, that all through him, that sacrifice, that life could come back upon the worshiper. And oh my, I'm so glad,
yes,
that I was counted in that number.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, how great he is.
Yes.
You know, I'm so thankful for what God has given me. You know, and there's so much that I say, Lord, open my understanding to. I don't feel like I grasp it like I need to. There's so much things, Lord. But take me higher, Lord, and higher.
Amen.
Deeper yet, I pray.
Yes.
Oh, into the precious love of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's stand, if you would. Maybe if we got that little chorus, maybe we can sing it. Amen. I don't know if we can do the verses. We'll just do the chorus. Amen. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser and more in the precious holy word. Sing it again. Amen. Higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Oh, deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go.
Seated for a moment. I just would like to read a scripture reading to put on this recording, and hopefully it'll speak to somebody that's listening in. So you have to listen, all right?
Amen.
All right. So we're going to read Luke, the 16th chapter, very familiar scripture, but something our Lord Jesus himself spoke, and so much truth in it. And so simple, but yet so powerful in so many ways. But just everyone listening, just open your heart and listen to what Jesus said in Luke 16, and we'll begin the 19th verse. And like I say, probably you, most of us here has read this probably many times. And I just want to add this to this. All right. There was a certain rich man. Now, pay attention. A rich man. So this person, this rich man Jesus speaking had, had plenty, all right, which was clothed in purple and fine linen. So his standard in life, he had plenty and his clothes showed it, you know, so Jesus showed us that to let us understand, and fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he had abundance of material things and he just had plenty. He fared very well, all right? And there was a certain beggar. Now here's a man that is totally the opposite direction as far as in this life, okay? And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate. So here Lazarus was brought there and laid at this rich man's gate. So the rich man was very aware that Lazarus was there. All right. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. So he was in a condition he couldn't move about. He was such a sick person and laid full of sores. Okay. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And that was the purpose they brought him there. They brought this man Lazarus there at this gate because this was a rich household and figured it'd be plenty, and people brought him, helped get him there, figured, well, he'd get some help there, you know, but it didn't happen that way, okay? Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Didn't have the money for a physician, didn't have no way of getting help his body, but yet why was there laying at this rich man's gate, just desiring to be fed with crumbs, the leftovers, things that fell from this rich man's life? Okay, he desired to have this, and it was full of sores, and of course the dogs laid there and licked him. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Okay, so of course, he's telling us here, the beggar got so bad that he passed away and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, again, this is the Lord Jesus speaking this. So this is what happened, okay? He wasn't just telling this for a story, and it wasn't just a parable. This is something that happened that Jesus was speaking of, okay? The rich man also died, so now both of them passed away and was buried. And just draw your attention to something here, because the prophet said when he was reading this, in one of the places he was speaking about this, he said, it goes to show you that when you do leave this life, actually I mentioned it a couple weeks ago in a message, but it goes to show you when you leave this life, and even in hell, you'll remember what you did. Okay? So just remember that. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, this rich man did, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Okay? So Jesus is speaking that as this rich man had passed away, he was able to see somehow, beyond a past a gulf, Abraham and Lazarus, this poor man who was so sickly and full of sores, across the chasm. And Lazarus in his bosom. So here now, Lazarus is in the position now he is being taken care of and being blessed. Okay? But this rich man that had all this in life when he was on earth and living it up, he had plenty. He had all that he ever needed. That was his life here on earth. And he was so involved in his riches and his nice things and all the material things and having plenty of food and plenty of people to be with him and, you know, living it up, having a good old time, as to say, that he paid no attention and had no feeling for this poor man, Lazarus, that didn't even have anything to eat, okay, and didn't have no care for his body, his sores. Okay? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, see, you remember who Abraham was, speaking of what the scripture spoke of Abraham and so forth. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. In this position, Jesus said, he was in hell. In this position and in this condition, he was asking God for mercy. Okay? Very aware of what was going on. Okay? So, let us remember this. And anybody may possibly be listening in. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Now, here's this one he didn't even pay attention to, wouldn't give him anything to eat, wouldn't help him out with his afflictions, his physical afflictions. And now he's wanting Lazarus to help him out. Yeah. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things? And he did. He remembered. He remembered what he had in life on earth, had plenty, okay, and no feelings for Lazarus whatsoever, none, okay. Receiveth thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Don't you remember? Hell is real. Hell is real. But also is heaven real. Okay? And I want you to pay attention, because the choices that was made here on earth brought the results of where both these men went. And beside all this, between us, now here he's, you know, he's wanting Lazarus to come dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue and so forth. And he begins to speak. He said, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. It's fixed. And so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. They could not get to this rich man, Lazarus, or neither Abraham. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Okay? So there's no way of getting back and forth to help each other now. Help was gone. Just let that sink in. Help was gone now. Okay? Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, because he had many brothers that he was concerned for. Here he is, he's thinking about all this in hell, being tormented, and now requesting help. But that's not the time to request help. It's too late. The time to request help is now, while you're in this life. And now in this life is the time to require help. Okay? For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So he's well aware that he had these brethren back on earth, and he didn't want to see them because he loved them. He cared for them. But he didn't want to see them to go the way that he did. So he thought, maybe I could request help. He's thinking of all this while he's in hell. Just think what people are going to be thinking about in hell. My. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the ministry there with them now. And they are not going to listen to them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, I'll make it a little more exciting. Lazarus died. They knew Lazarus died. And if he would go back, now surely they would listen to him because he come from the dead. This would be more powerful looking. This would be more supernatural looking. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now's the time to ask God to help you be persuaded. Now's the time. Not when it's too late. I think of different funerals I've done over the years and knowing, I mean, just rank sinners, didn't even know God. And the one time I took a funeral, and I believe it was in Zanesville or someplace it was, and even the funeral director, he caught on to what I was saying. And he said, you know, he said, sometimes you just got to say what you got to say, don't you? I said, yeah. I said, yes, you do. I said, because people won't listen. And some people just don't care. You know, and as Brother Timothy mentioned tonight, you know, it's many times people think they're beyond repair. But like I read last Thursday night, it's they that are sick that need a physician. Not they that are all, you see. And he is the great physician. And he's the great one that can heal everything, even our desire. For receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive the desire to serve him and obey him. Yeah. So you might say, well, I have no desire. Again, if there's anything at all on the inside pulling and drawing, then jump with it all you got. Pray. Pray. Talk to him. He said, well, God won't listen to me. How do you know? Do you try it? And God will hear a desperate heart. Yes. That's who he'll listen to. And it's just a shame, even in this day and hour in which we live, even people that's been in church all their life, maybe know they really didn't, they haven't really received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and yet they really won't seek God with all their heart. No, they won't cry out to God. There's nothing there. There's no desperation there like it needs to be. But friends, there may come a time in your life that you'll be faced. Your seed, he'll put you sometimes in a position that desperation will have to come. You'll see. Without God, you're not going to make it. And may those, every one of them that hasn't received Christ, be as Peter. He seen he was going down, friends, when he stepped out of that boat. He walked for a little while. But friends, when he went down, that great fearful waves began to come toward him. Lost everything Jesus spoke to him because he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost yet. But when he sunk and he knew he was going to die, he said, oh God, help me lest I perish. And we don't understand, friends. And that's why I just want you to remember tonight by reading this. To just let it bounce back and forth in your mind. Hell is real. And heaven is real. Amen. I'd rather choose the right way. Again, if there's anything at all calling out in your heart, may God deal with your heart. May you not be able to sleep during the night. Something just pulling so strong. And you'll just finally give in and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Amen. May God bless every one of us. Amen. And I'd like to sing a little song that's been requested before we leave. Do you have time?
Amen.
I got time. I'm retired. Amen. Let's turn to page 698. I feel for you, brothers, who are still at work. I really do. I think about it. I was thinking about it yesterday when I was out enjoying and working around the house and doing things. You know, but boy, I just feel for you because I've done it for almost 50 years, so I know what it's like. You know. So 698, God on the Mountain. Amen. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you never know. But things will change and you're down in the valley. Talk of faith when things go good. We let the night strike and let the bad times hit where we stand then. But he's the same God. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God's mercy and grace, he tarries and I live, I want to bring something Sunday. But if you'll have your heart open, I'm sure you'll be able to climb a little higher. Amen. Just come praying, asking God to reveal his word. Because I can't do it, only thing I can do is bring it back to your attention. Right? Amen. And just depend on and trust to the Holy Spirit we hear to reveal. Amen. Let God do that in our hearts and our lives. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, you're just so good, Lord. You're so wonderful. Lord, it just seems like so many times there just ain't the right kind of words in our vocabulary that we can express back to you of your goodness, your wonderfulness, your love, your mercy. Just doesn't seem like there's enough words. And Father, we can't wait till the day we get there, Lord, and be able to worship you throughout eternity. Oh God, and express our love to you and appreciation. Father, just help us to give us revelation. Give us a greater revelation, Lord, to understand with reality the very word that you've given us. And Lord, without you, we can't. We wouldn't have a clue, Lord, what it's about unless you reveal it. So we're asking, Father, that you would do that for us and help us just to stay in the humble little way, Lord, and hearts open, and be them people the Scripture speak of with a broken and a contrite spirit. Lord, open to your word at all times. We appreciate the word tonight, Lord, our brother brought. May it sink deep into our hearts, and may we be able to take that word and measure ourselves up by it and see where we're at and ourselves as individuals. So we appreciate it now, Lord. And we pray that you will bless each one, Father, that was listening in. May you come down, Lord, and just send a special presence down in their home. Oh, God, and just meet the needs in their lives. Just asking again now that you would be with us. If you tarry, Lord, we don't know when you're going to come, but if you do tarry till Sunday and you help us live, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to feed the lambs and the sheep, Lord. The little ewes, Lord. All that's in the family of God. We pray that you'll bless us now. Just keep us safe as we leave this little place and bring us back again in the next appointed time. We ask now that thy will be done in our lives and guide us by thy sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. We ask in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So don't forget now when you leave, he's God on the mountain. He's God in the good times, God in the bad times. But he's just waiting there, ready for you to accept him. Open up your heart and say, Lord, thank you. Amen. And he'll provide for all your needs. Amen. And just keep in mind now, Brother George is still coming, Lord willing, for the first. And we will have a little dinner after. I don't think we need something, a lot of stuff. You know, we just may put something simple together. And so he'll be with us, Lord willing. And we'll plan on starting service at 6, since there won't be, you know, people working and so forth. So just kind of plan on that and pray God will have his way. Amen. All right, God richly bless you and dismiss.